You all have sworn fealty to the crown of Hans the Bear. We have ridden north in a time of great celebration, in announcement that the crown has passed, in accordance with King Danube Brock Ursel's own wishes and words, to King Adrian Baldabros. Open wide your gates, Bishop Brauman, and seize your treasonous proclamations. Your king has come to visit.
Go home, Duke Callus! We have heard your words and Adrian's claim to the throne, and we are not moved! Especially so when we consider the theft of the Abelican Church that is even now commencing.
Open wide your gates and greet your new king with proper respect!
When Prince Midas arrives, he will be greeted accordingly.
Deucalus stared hard at the man for a long while, then scanned the length of the wall, his eyes narrow and threatening.
Is this the decision of Palmaris, then? So be it! Do tell your grave diggers to stock up on extra shovels!
Callus replaced his great plumed helm on his head, then brought his horse about suddenly, and galloped back to the Ursal line, the other two Allhard knights in tow.
Gilsepani is behind this treason!
Deucalus had returned to his place beside King Adrian.
You underestimated the power of the witch, and now before us the gates are closed.
Perhaps we should thank her then.
The Duke and the other stared at Dianero curiously.
If all the kingdom willingly joins with King Adrian before Prince Midas can move south of the vanguard, the war will be over before it ever begins. Better for us all if—
Do you so fear a fight? Perhaps Palmaris will prove a valuable lesson for the rest of the kingdom. Perhaps it is time that we show the people of the land the price of denying the truth of Adrian Baldabras.
Callus let go of his argument and turned to Adrian for his orders. Adrian's blue eyes bored into the man, reminding him of his encounter with death, reminding him of his journey to the Dark Realm, when Adrian had literally pulled him back to life. Those eyes told Callus profoundly that this man, and not the pitiful Abelican Church, held the secret to life after death, held the secret to immortality itself.
March to the wall, Duke Callus. If they do not open the gates, we will tear the gates down.
The Duke nodded his obedience, then spurred his pinto away, gathering up his commanders, organizing the first charge. To the side, remaining quiet but watching intently, Sadia took a good measure of Adrian. She could see the vision of the man. He was so beyond those around him, Dianero included, so enwrapped in a journey of greater glory that he feared nothing at all. Truly, he was king of Hans the Bear and beyond. Truly, all the world should bow before him, for he was above them. Sadia caught herself with a deep breath, hardly believing the thoughts that had flooded through her. She studied Adrian carefully, his intense blue eyes peeking out from the golden rims of his helm, his blonde hair showing all about the edges. She looked at his armor, the most magnificent suit in all the world, and she knew even beyond that, that the man beneath those metal plates was more magnificent still. She did step back from her own fluttering heart to note something else about young and strong Adrian, though, something that she could not miss in his eyes. A twinge of regret, perhaps? Then the thousands of Kingsmen infantry took up their determined march toward the city. Bishop Brauman watched the approach with a heavy heart. There was no turning back now, no more speeches to give. He had told the people of Palmaris the truth as he had honestly measured it, and they had made their decision to resist this young king, and now the resistance was put right before them. The soldiers advanced methodically behind the line. The Allhard knights, nearly 100 strong, assembled their ponies in the center of a larger line of cavalry. A few arrows went out from Palmaris' wall, falling far short of the still-distant force. Bishop Brauman began to call for a halt to the ineffective fire, but changed his mind. They were nervous, he knew. A few balls of burning pitch soared out from Palmaris' tower catapults to more effect, but still falling far short of the needed defense to deter such an army as it approached. Brahmin turned left and right, scanning the wall. The Brothers of St. Precious, who had remained behind, had been given specific gemstones and specific tasks in aiding the defense. Brahmin had strategically placed them for maximum effect, to kill as many attackers as possible. That realization brought with it tremendous guilt and regret. And old Brahmin, no stranger to war and conflict, had to work hard to keep the waves of despair away. The march progressed in orderly fashion, but when the soldiers entered the area close enough for effective fire, lines of arrows reached out from Palmaris' wall, slashing into the long ranks. The first blood stained the field outside the city that morning, and the cries of agony tore at Bishop Brahmin's heart.